San Diego and its community choice energy district would be able to offer a diverse energy mix with all of the solar, biodiesel, biogas, and energy storage resources that we have in San Diego, a product that is price competitive and yet at the same time would strive for and achieve a higher level of renewable content.
Can San Diego follow in the footsteps of other community-driven power efforts in California and Illinois? Or will a new Monopoly Protection Act moving through the California legislature put an end to cities' ability to control their energy future? Joining me this week to explore the possibilities is Lane Sharman, co-founder and chair of the San Diego Energy District Foundation. I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to its expansion. Lane, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, John, for having me on the program. It's a real pleasure.
Now, you founded the San Diego Energy District Foundation in 2011, as I understand it, to help fight the solar taxes that have been proposed by the incumbent monopoly utility, San Diego Gas and Electric. How did that fight turn out?
Well, it was successful in the end. The state of California ruled that the application by San Diego Gas and Electric was illegal. It had been a law that had been proposed by San Diego Gas and Electric that would have retroactively assessed new fees on customers in San Diego Gas and Electric service territory that had put solar on their rooftops with the understanding that the energy provided would be credited under current net energy metering rules. And this would have rolled back the provision of net energy metering for those customers.
You know, that was a great first step in, and it's, I think, one of many fights that is happening around the country. But I understand that your foundation has some higher aspirations than just, you know, defeating the utility's efforts to tax solar customers. You're looking at this notion of community choice aggregation. There are other ones and some that we've interviewed for this program, like Marin Clean Energy or Sonoma County, also in California, where the local folks are in charge of the utility. Is that effort moving forward in San Diego too?
It is. It's moving forward beautifully as a result of the San Diego Energy District Foundation's early efforts in 2012. A nonprofit by the name of Protect Our Communities dedicated $50,000 to a technical feasibility study, which the city of San Diego has now absorbed and is bringing to publication in the August-September timeframe. And that study, it's my belief, will show that a community choice aggregation district in San Diego will be cost effective and offer the citizens of San Diego an opportunity for energy choice and competition.
And the evidence seems to be from the other CCAs that have launched in Marin County and in Sonoma County that you can, in fact, be competitive on price and yet still have a significantly higher portion of renewable energy than incumbent investor-owned utilities.
That is correct, John. As the Marin Energy Authority offers as a baseline product a energy mix that's 50% renewable and at the same time now lower than Pacific Gas and Electric. Sonoma Clean Power is offering a product, a baseline product, that has 30% renewable content and is priced just a tiny bit, a fraction lower than Pacific Gas and Electric. Lancaster, the city of Lancaster, is planning its community choice aggregation unit as we speak. And therefore, it's safe to assume that San Diego and its community choice energy district would be able to offer a diverse energy mix with all of the solar, biodiesel, biogas, and energy storage resources that we have in San Diego, a product that is price competitive and yet at the same time would strive for and achieve a higher level of renewable content and therefore be a safer energy product for the citizens of San Diego.
It raises kind of an interesting big picture question. In this conversation, you've sort of implied that there are some benefits to a not-for-profit utility structure, like you have with community choice aggregation. But the sort of conventional wisdom is that in the for-profit world, the profit motive drives innovation. It drives competition. Why might we be better off with power in the hands of the public sector or the people directly?
Well, that's a great question, John, and it raises the larger philosophical question of what belongs in a public agency and what belongs in a for-profit company. And if you have energy in a for-profit company, the question is, will the company pursue the lowest cost energy source in order to maximize its profits? I mean, that just is a logical thing to do. Luckily, in the state of California, the energy is not a, by the IOUs, is not actually a source of profit realization. It's actually the maintenance of the hardware network. But when you enlarge the hardware network to buy and procure more energy, you increase the profits of the investor-owned utility. So there is a indirect reason for increasing the quantity of energy. And I think it just raises the question of energy is the source of our problems with climate change, combusting fossil fuels, and therefore, like water and education, it may be that energy is better managed as a publicly accountable resource like education and water.
Well, and I have to add, too, this came out actually in the municipalization effort in Boulder, which you referenced. The investor-owned utility there had really been hammering down on this notion of public ownership, suggesting that the public sector couldn't, in fact, do a good job of managing energy services. And I believe it was the president of the American Public Power Association, which is the trade group representing all these municipal utilities, kind of stepped out and said, you know, we have 2,000 municipal utilities in the United States. We serve, you know, 1 in 7 electricity customers across the country. We're not for profit, so we have community interests at heart. We don't pay taxes, but we put money into the general fund of the cities that we represent. You know, I think he did a fairly good job mentioning a lot of the upsides and why, whether or not you would argue that one is better than the other, that there's certainly at least plenty of evidence that both are workable models.
I think that's exactly right. And I'd also would just like to point out where energy is concerned, we do have a clear understanding that combusting fossil fuels is externalizing a cost that the public is now being asked to pay for. John, we're seeing a tremendous rise in the transformation of the energy model and paradigm from unsafe energy to safe energy. And that's where we're headed and that's where we need to go. And all of the policies and regulations ought to be focused on recognizing the cost of combusting fossil fuels, and the socialization of those costs ought to be internalized within the fossil fuel companies that are profiting from the mining and sale of that material.
Well, and I think there's some other good evidence out there too. In doing some research about the work you've done in San Diego, I came across a 2010 study done by the county, San Diego County, showing a route toward 100% renewable energy and all of the available resources there. Costs haven't come down dramatically since then, especially for solar energy. And I understand you've got another study coming out later in 2014 that is also going to, I think, make the case fairly well that even when we're talking about costs, there's a lot of good reason why we should be shifting toward renewables, because we can not only save the environment, but save money as well.
Absolutely, John. It's a great segue into the fact that in Texas, the most bare knuckle of markets, which is all cost-based, there's not really any pressure on any of the utilities to procure energy at anything other than the lowest possible cost. Several utilities recently let out a contract for the procurement of new energy, and the energy that was being sold by new energy that was being sold by new power plants came in at under $50 a megawatt hour by solar, significantly less expensive than energy that could be produced by natural gas plants, new natural gas plants. So yes, in San Diego, we see the future as being 100% safe energy, renewable energy, and not dependent any longer on fossil fuel-based combusted energy.
Now, yeah, I want to hop back from the technology to the policy issues for a minute. You know, as you said, the city is moving forward in a conversation about community choice aggregation. You've got the study coming up and some good conversation. But the investor-owned utilities, San Diego Gas and Electric, hasn't been idle. It seems like they, among other investor-owned utilities, are back at the legislature trying to undo the opportunities there. And as I understand it, they've got a bill that would change local aggregation. And instead of being able to have, by default, everybody joins this new local utility and folks can opt out, the bill that they've proposed would require people to opt in. Can you explain why this is essentially a poison pill for community choice aggregation, and are you confident that you'll be able to overcome that?
Well, I am hoping that we will be able to overcome AB 2145, which is a bill that was put forward by a Democrat, Stephen Bradford, an assembly member in Sacramento, who also worked for 12 years for Southern California Edison and happens to be the greatest recipient of utility money in the assembly member in the Assembly of California. So it's no wonder that he would produce a bill that would severely, in fact, actually, in my opinion, be the poison pill for community choice aggregation law. Imagine forming a cooperative and you had no members. That's exactly what this bill does, is it says, look, you guys can form a cooperative, but you can't have any members until each one of them individually opts in. That's not my idea of choice. That's my idea of limitation. And that's exactly what this bill is designed to do. It's designed to limit the ability of a jurisdiction and then to form a community energy district and have all of its citizens opted in at once so that the buying power of that cooperative is viable on day one. It's designed for one and only one reason, and that is to protect the investor-owned utilities, and that's why we call it the Monopoly Protection Act in California.
That was John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Democratic Energy, speaking with Lane Sharman, co-founder and chair of the San Diego Energy District Foundation. You can learn more about San Diego's fight for its energy future at sdenergydistrict.org and learn more about the policy tool it's hoping to use, community choice aggregation, at leanenergyus.org or at ilsr.org, where you'll also find 22 other episodes of our Local Energy Rules podcast. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.